Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Supercoach podcast. We are on a Thursday for the first time in quite a while, actually, on the free main podcast. I'm joined by Chizo. Chizo, why are we on a Thursday?
I think it's just one of those situations towards the end of the year that we really depend on teams to give the best advice. And it just felt like more relevant information we could be given towards the end of the week than at the start.
Yeah, so essentially, as the year goes on and when there aren't Thursday night games, we tend to pop out a Patreon podcast, just a little, you know, hit like question and answer type of thing. But we don't want to just give advice on the Tuesday podcast that is just purely guessing.
Tuesday pod.
Based on, well, yeah, it comes out.
Okay, true.
We don't want to give Tuesday or Monday advice, which is just guessing if Hewitt is in, if Houston or yeah. Hall or Rich or whatever is in, this will be what to do. And then it gets to the Thursday, and then there's a whole bunch of different outs that you didn't anticipate. And we do a Thursday Patreon podcast, and the main guys miss out. So we're trying to just address all the main things all in one podcast, all for everyone, so that we're not doubling up information or guessing earlier in the week. So as per usual, we are powered by Code Sports, so we thank them for the sponsorship for the podcast. Chizo, I haven't spoken to you for a while. How is your year progressing? I know none of us at Dr. Supercoach are having the best year, but yeah. How's your last few weeks been? I hear you've been on a little bit of a comeback trail.
Little bit of a tear. I've set up a patented Chizo chase down. I'm only 108 points behind you now, so I've got a trade in hand as well. I'm not sure where you're sitting on the trade table there, mate, but yeah, I sort of timed my run a bit late. I used the same strategy as I used last year, where I probably didn't go as aggressive early on in the season and didn't use the boosts to the greatest of my advantages to try and jump the pack, and you know, thinking that I'd run them all down like I did last year. But the way that the game has changed with the DPP additions and the extra flexibility that I used to code into my team to begin with just doesn't give that same advantage for those that kind of play it a little bit more safe. And I'm just finding I probably just approached it a bit too slow and not as nimble as those at the start of the year.
Yeah, I think a lot of us made that mistake, especially the three podcasters and actually the people who are sort of getting around our group thinking the Slack fell down a similar path. There's been some outstanding Slack performers this year, nevertheless, so I'm definitely not talking down our product, but I think it's caught out a lot of experienced coaches in general with just how they play the game and how quickly they've needed to adapt to this new style. But I tell you what, next year, it'll be the comeback trail of a lifetime for the pretty much us three, hopefully, and our advice. So I hope to get back on a good wicket next year. I'm still inside the top 10K, which is always a sort of a natural goal. I don't want to land outside the top 10K any given season, but one trade left in hand and a Hewitt-sized hole in my team this week. So a lot to discuss. Hopefully I hang on for dear life. We've got a couple of new Patreon sign-ups, if you want to go through those quickly.
Yeah, so we've got a new sign-up in Daniel Sterling, and I do have to make an admission, JB, is that I know you've been donating for incorrect pronunciations, and so far this year we haven't had anyone chime up and actually force us to make a donation. I'm wondering if they're bots just signing up and not actually listening to the podcast. But I actually said Alex Sibbald's name wrong in last week's podcast, and that's what I'm going with, Sibbald, to see if I have to. We made an agreement that if I got it wrong this time around, I'm going to donate. So Alex, right, get back to me and tell me if Sibbald is the correct... let's say it again, Sibbald.
How did you pronounce it last week?
Siblad, I think. I think I swapped the L and the A around. I was like, I knew as soon as I said it, I just kind of had that moment. I was like, I'm going to get a DM about that.
Yeah, that, it's a gut-wrenching moment. You look at it afterwards and go, wait, I don't think that's how I read the name the first time.
I didn't read it like that in my head. It just came out that way.
Right. I mean, look, it's a tough gig reading out names. We can't all be perfect like I am in terms of getting the pronunciations correct. And look, honestly, I have been to a point where I've been challenging people to just nitpick. Just get me with one of these things. I'm happy to donate, but it just hasn't happened, Jesus. It's just been impeccable pronunciations. There has been a couple of Cancer Council donations this week, which we just thank everyone again for all their support they've given this year. This man, Butler, has been probably the most supportive person on the Cancer Council the entire season. So a lot of praise for him this year. Late payment for the Clary donut. So he's given us 0.1 of one of his betting units, which is great. About $600 there, Butler. Appreciate that. Jesse Hall, the next one. Wongo here donating for saying there's no way Maurice gets dropped last week and asking everyone to take bets. He obviously got dropped, but luckily no one took the bet. I also had a brother pass away from cancer, so I appreciate the work you've done to raise this money. So obviously a light note there, sucked in for getting the Maurice dropping incorrect because I was counting on him for cover. But so sorry to hear about the brother passing away as well. So thoughts with your family there. Wongo, who's an absolute legend, by the way, Wongo, if you followed his brand new Bubba being born as well. So he's been great in Slack recently. Shuin has donating due to not having any trades left, which is, it's got to be me next week. So we'll see how many donuts I can rack up in that time as well. Don't think you're alone there, Shuin. And Jay donates, made the biggest rookie mistake this week into the round of 32 in the Dr. Supercoach Cup. VC led, took the 140 with the loop of Hamilton, had Steele on the bench with the emergency. It all seemed okay until I realized at the end of the Collingwood game that I also had the emergency on Carmichael, who had been subbed on in the last quarter. And I don't know if he even registered a point. So a total loss of 111 points, and to top it off, I lost my matchup in the cup by 60 points. Time to learn for next year. So on an absolute dream run, would have gotten into the DRC Cup final 16 if he hadn't have made that error. And honestly, he's the one that took me out, Jay. So I was backing him to go all the way. He's got a good team, but that's a costly error. So thank you for your donation, but condolences for your loss.
It always feels nice when the person that knocks you out of the cup goes on to win, because if it, you know, like I've come up against number one and I feel a bit more vindicated in being knocked out. When you get knocked out by someone that stuffs up that royally, JB,
it's just completely numpty.
Yeah, it stings, doesn't it? It stings just that little bit. It's almost like he knocked you out and it was like, that's all I was here for. Just washes his hands and just goes, all right, how can I burn this house down? Bit of gas and matches.
Yeah, that's actually what it felt like. So I messaged him afterwards and said, look, man, if I've done something to upset you, if there's some sort of beef we need to iron out here, let's just have it out. I'd rather discuss it than, you know, go around knocking each other out of the cup and then tanking the week after. He insists that's not the case, but I will get to the bottom of it, Jay. So I appreciate you putting me on the outer, mate, but you didn't need to tank the week after. Now, we've got some defender chit-chat to get into. So that's essentially all this podcast is going to be, with a little sprinkle of Patrick Cripps towards the end. We've got four defender outs this week: Georgie Hewett, Daniel Rich, Aaron Hall, as per usual, and Dan Houston, all missing this week, all with ownerships of a significant enough level to discuss. We're going to discuss all of them. We're going to discuss the options below their price, the options if you've got a little bit of money, and whether or not they're even a trade out. So let me start with George Hewett. We'll start with the most expensive player that is missing this week. If you had George Hewett, there's absolutely no timeline on the injury. As much as we expect him to be back next week, I expected him to be back this week at the time of holding him last week. So let's just assume it's an indefinite amount of time that he'll miss. He's $536,000. It's not the best price point to negotiate. Are you trading out Hewett this week, even if you've got none of these other boys and cover? What are your thoughts in that instance?
I think if you got cover, I wouldn't be. I think it all comes down to your personal circumstances when it comes to finals and what you play it for. I traded Hewett last week because I was playing for the league and desperately needed a win. So take that with a grain of salt, and the fact that I actually traded him. I still think that in this situation you want to be holding him, because he's just one of those few players that kind of have been going 110 plus this year. I know he's slowed down a little bit, but I've still got, you know, Pitnet's back. We saw the uptick with Cripps as well. So I still think Hewett's a good selection, provided he's back next week. We haven't really got a true form line on, you know, when he's coming back. JB, they sort of, the last couple of weeks were like, oh, you know, he's close, but he didn't quite get up. And then, oh, we don't want to risk it because he's had this injury before. And it sort of feels like a bit GWS-y, if I can say that. But I've got confidence that he should be back next week. In which, for that reason, I think if you've got cover, if you've got wear that can come straight on, you're getting a 65 from him. It just seems so simple when trades are so precious at this end of the year.
Okay, so my follow-up question to that... I've just noticed that in the top... I don't know, check your lockout time. What does yours say? Is yours counting down, like your next lockout to round 20? Mine, this is so funny. I need to post this with the podcast or something. Mine says next lockout invalid date, round 20, and then days, hours, minutes, seconds, it just goes nah, 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 nah. Like literally NA.
Take a screenshot of that. Mine's working. We've got 24 hours.
Mine's either saying, like, repeatedly yelling nan at me, or it's like that nah, 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 nah. It's just waving me off because it knows I'm pretty much out of trades.
Or it's just singing the Batman thing.
This is jarring. I'm just going to screenshot that while we talk about it. But okay, so with George Hewett, what if you do have the wear cover, you're confident you're going to win your final anyway this week, but you've got four trades left and he's your only player missing this week?
If you've got four trades left, you've got a free shot. Yeah, that's a free hit.
I think so too. And I think even if you're in a double chance situation, I think you could even go to the point of, if you can't afford Sicily or Stewart, more importantly, I think you could even get to a point where you trade someone down and trade Hewett up to Stewart and run the rest of the season with two trades. There's only, three rounds left after this week?
Yes.
21, 22, 23. Two trades to go through the last three rounds with Tom Stewart now in your team. Hopefully you're straight into a prelim with that. I think that is okay, but that's more of a gut call. That's not just if anyone was thinking or leaning that way and they needed to hear someone say that's actually a really good situation and an okay thing to do, you've got my blessing. But I could understand you holding and thinking, you know what, there's been four defenders miss with a 1 week injury this week, I'm going to hold those trades, which is, again, completely understandable. But, you know, four trades in 4 weeks, I don't know you're going to need all those. I really don't. So it's an interesting one. If you had to trade Hewett, so if you've got any of these other guys, you're either looking at a donut or potentially using two forms of cover, which you want to avoid doing for leagues or ranking. Hewitt's looking like the let's just quickly jump ahead. Houston, Hall, and Rich are missing just the 1 week.
Yeah.
So we know that Hewitt is probably just the 1 week, but potentially two or even potentially three. So we're talking about Hewitt as the guy to have to trade out if you're missing a couple of these guys and you have to make a decision. I know he's also the best of those lot, but he's got a 5-round average of 102. It's not the 110 average that we've been having all season.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like, it's kind of okay to just accept that he's not in that early season. Like, from pretty much up until round 11, he was averaging 118. Since then, he's gone 97, 103, 104, 87, 123, which was against West Coast, 94. So Adelaide, he misses this week. Then he has Brisbane, Melbourne, Collingwood. Like, I don't think those last three games scream back to the 115 plus, especially if there's any sort of concerns at the back. I think he probably just goes between 100, 105. You could even say between 100 and 110, which is great. But the other guys, Houston, Horn, and Rich, have all got that potential, are all probably going to do about the same on their return as well. And they're guaranteed to just miss the 1 week. So I think Hewitt is the one that we look to trade. If we do so and we don't have money or trades to go up to the Stewart, who's the most obvious pick, I think we can agree on, Tommy Stewart, with the likes of Cicely, Sinclair, and Himmelberg being, you know, thereafter. Even Jordan Dawson, maybe a little step after. His 3-round average isn't pretty, but...
Can I jump in?
Yeah, I
wouldn't necessarily say Stewart is an out-and-out clear favourite for me personally. I think of those three or four that you named there, I think you pick the one that you have the most comfortable in. Maybe you like Sinclair's run home. Maybe you're worried he might get a tag and you want someone like Stewart that's just going to roll around by himself. I think you can't really have a wrong answer. There is obviously going to be one of those three or four that score the most points, but I don't think it's going to be so vastly different that you can call any of those other guys the wrong selection.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And some people might, for some reason, just be off of Stewart, for whatever reason that is, I'm not sure. But I think it's just an opportunity. He's only owned by 10% of the competition. I assume that's going to rise as the week goes on. But 10% as a POD, you're going to have him essentially as a POD in all of your finals. If you don't have Sinclair, Cicely, Himmelberg, Jordan Dawson, whichever one it is, and it's a Stewart versus one of those guys, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to just outscore them every week for the rest of the season, but I'm okay hedging my guy Stewart in that sort of debate. And you could look ahead in your finals matchups. Maybe the person that you think you're going to struggle against the most has Sinclair, and that's just the safest way to go. Absolutely. Look ahead. Do whatever due diligence.
Yeah, got it. Nail it.
Any one of those pronunciations. And then make that decision based on that. But I think if I had the money in the trade, I would be going to Tom Stewart. But again, as you said, it's going to be a preference call. Now, when we look below George Hewitt, it gets really dicey, like immediately. We're looking at the likes of Nick Hind. I assume everyone has a Doherty, otherwise he seems pretty comfortable. But Nick Hind, Angus Brayshaw, Adam Sard, I guess Luke Ryan has a pretty good 3-round average. Like, look at the guys that I'm naming.
Yeah.
Aaron Hall's not in, otherwise he was my pick of the punch. In typical Aaron Hall form.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if we go down, there's like a... You're looking at Stephen May, has a pretty good 3-round average of 98, I guess. But essentially, who do you like the most? This is going to be the hardest question I ask you in Supercoach, I think. Nick Hind, Angus Brayshaw, Adam Sard, or other?
It's one of those situations where I just don't like any of them. I think probably Sard is probably the guy that I see potentially scoring the most points towards the end of the year. I think Luke Ryan also has the potential to do that, falling within this price range. Caleb Daniel will average about 98 and have a standard deviation of about 2 points. So you can pretty much just bank in 95 every single week. And it's so funny you didn't even mention Jake Lloyd. Like, in 20 rounds, he's gone from the greatest defensive player we've ever had in this game to not even getting mentioned. It's quite scary. There's a lot of these guys that are literally going to go 95 to 100 for the rest of the year, and there's no one name that is screaming out, but I personally do like Saad.
I think it's important to say 95 to 100 is fine. That's pretty much on the money with what you're going to be spending at this stage. If you can guarantee whichever guy I choose out of these lot, because this is where I'm shopping, is going to give me between 95 and 100, then I would just jump on them. I don't need to bet for 105 and potentially get 85. I don't want that. I want the guy who's going to be safe and consistent and just play every game.
Yeah.
If you're going to go with Saad, I've actually had a bit of a look at this because this was where I was at. So Saad only concerns me because he had a streak of tons between round 10 and round 16. So he had 6 tons in a row there. Then he had 64 against West Coast, 71 against Geelong before getting the 136 against GWS. Now, it's real nitpicky to say that, you know, the form line is why I'm making this decision. If anything, it's what's made him affordable, which is probably a good thing, is why you would shop there.
Yeah.
Angus Brayshaw, the alternative option, he is a little bit more inconsistent, but his floor seems to be a little bit better. So since round 11, 100, 130, 126, 106, and then on the last four rounds, it's been 83, 102, 77 against the restrictive Port, who don't like to give up defender points, and then 122 against Bulldogs. It's really nitpicky. It's hard to split these guys. It's hard to split any of them. I wish there was like a standout factor, like this guy's injured, so this guy's going to be amazing type of thing. But I actually don't mind either pick, and I think it's a bit of fun towards the end of the year. You know, we've got 4 weeks to watch this little like prospect. We've had safe George Hewitt all year. Now we've got a random sort of stab in the dark, and we're looking at random guys essentially that we wouldn't have looked at any other season. And it's a little bit fun. Luke Ryan, I want to hear your take on him, because back-to-back 128s, model of consistency, but before that, absolute roller coaster. So I do have my concerns with Luke Ryan. I think he needs just about every kick out, and nothing's changed to say that he's not going to keep the kick out. Only Lob came in this week. He was relying on, I think, Logue to play forward. So Lob coming in might move Griffin Logue or something. I need to follow up with a Fremantle fan, but Luke Ryan just scares the pants off of me. He can put out real low scores.
Yeah. And the player that impacts him the most this year is Hayden Young really coming of age, certainly. As well, not so much in terms of stealing kickouts every week, but he'll go through a little span where he takes a kick in, or maybe 30% of the kick-ins, and he tends to share it with Brennan Cox as well from memory. So he's still their number one guy, which means he's going to have a decent-ish floor. The problem is he does rely on intercept points. What I'm talking about in terms of, say, maybe a Saad or even a Caleb Daniels, I feel like there's less likely to put out 260s in the last four rounds, whereas I certainly feel like a couple of those guys that don't rely on intercept possessions can be a little bit more consistent and not have a floor that loses you a matchup coming. Like, obviously, we're in finals now for leagues and stuff like that. So that's sort of what I feel about Luke Ryan, because he's always had that potential to put out 120 pluses in the past. I think this year we've seen his ceiling in terms of average drop down 5 to 10 points because of the fact that he's no longer their absolute only guy in the back line that can be trusted to dispose of the footy. So we're talking about purple patches. Maybe these last two or three games has been the start of one of those, and you're just kind of jumping on the train.
Yeah, I think it's got its risk, but I do think he's one of the higher upside selections, just lower downside, which is a bit scary. Definitely a gut call decision. I'm going to pivot on you a little bit here. So if you have Hewitt and one of the other three who are missing, and you've unfortunately got no or very minimal bench cover, or you desperately need to win your final this week and don't think you can without a full premium side, you've got a few trades left, so you're okay with making two trades. Now, the two trades that you're making is one of them up to Stewart, which is going to cost you a bit of money, which means the other one has to go down and down below the range we're even looking at. There are a couple of names down here that will bail you out. I'm looking at the likes of Stephen May, potentially. I want to just know if anyone around this lower sort of price range is catching your eye. So, Lockie Whitfield is 462K. I would not endorse anyone to go there again. I've already done that once or twice or three times this year. Luke McDonald has a three-round average of 91. Not even touching that. He can put out an actual 15 in an entire game. I think Stephen May is probably the only opportunity down here to cut some costs as I scroll through. Essentially, if you're shopping in this price range, it's obviously not ideal, but you're doing it to facilitate getting someone like Tom Stewart or James Sicily, which you wouldn't have otherwise been able to afford. I'm okay with that. A May and Stewart combination to me is better than a Saad and Angus Brayshaw combination.
I agree. Yeah. Because the cheaper guys are value selections that are typically underpriced in terms of Stephen May, priced at 95 or something like that, or 90, and you're looking at the upside of 100, which is what he can do, and then you're getting someone for basically true value in the 110 plus range. So I certainly prefer that upside. You're combining the best of both worlds kind of thing compared to two guys that you're hoping both go 100.
Yeah, absolutely agree. So if I was making two trades, I would definitely be... I mean, I think it's a good opportunity to make a sort of one up, one down type of swing and get someone who a lot of people actually can't afford. I've only got $2,000 in the bank. I can't afford... I was hoping my last trade would be spent on a premium that had a lot more cash appreciated so I could just have a pick of the bunch. I unfortunately don't. I don't even have a good value guy to go to. So I'm going to be clutching at straws. But I think people that are doing this trade should be extremely grateful that they're getting someone like Stewart and unfortunately getting someone like May, but I think it's a pretty good trade-off to be getting Stewart in your side.
I've got a question for you, something we haven't really touched on. I'm going to get you to order some of these guys. So someone's DM'd me this week. He's got Hewitt, Rich and Houston. He's only got one bench cover and obviously he's going to cop... two donuts in that respect. So he's got to make a couple of trades. Obviously, we've talked about Houston being number one just for the fact that we don't know for sure he's back next week.
Hewitt.
Houston and Rich, the other two. What order are you trading these guys out that we know only are out for 1 week? Is there one guy that you would rather hold on to than the rest of them?
This is interesting because I have two different reasonings for wanting to trade these one guy over the other. So the reason I would want to trade Daniel Rich over Dan Houston is...
Port bias. Yeah, got it.
No.
the pause where you're just like, I'm going to kill you.
For starters, he's got 35K... more appreciation, so I think it gives you better options in terms of your two trades that he's doing. If he can afford Houston and Hewitt to May and Stewart, then I would just do that. I think that's quite simple. I don't know his cash situation, but I think that's a very good trade going those two. The other reason I would trade Rich over Houston, despite the money difference, is with what they did with their hamstring, giving him that extra week. And with how bad the concussion looked, because he was shocking. Not to say that he's even a chance to miss 2 weeks, but I just wonder how cautious they're going to be. If he has anything wrong with him whatsoever, could this potentially be 2 weeks? Probably not. But is that a decent tiebreaker? I mean, we don't really have much else.
We're splitting hairs, and that's exactly. a good reason as any when you have such a serious concussion like that.
But I was going to say Rich is just going to score better.
Is he?
Dan Houston's going to come back to a Richmond, Essendon and Adelaide game, all of which he scores pretty well against. So actually, I'm not certain that it's going to be a one-sided scoring affair either. So, look, I suppose I would side with Rich in the trade-out, but that is very difficult. You are splitting hairs, and they probably score within 20 of one another for the rest of the season anyway. So, It's whoever facilitates the better moves now rather than worrying about what happens for the last 3 weeks. By the way, also, Rich has slight injury proneness in other areas besides just this concussion this week, I suppose. So if this was your last two trades, for example, or if you only had one left going out of this, Rich could, you know, has and already has done this year, potentially do something to a soft tissue or other such. Like, he's old, whereas Houston should not have those concerns coming out of halfback.
Yeah. With finals coming up, Brisbane are going to play it safe. I think we can be sure of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That is splitting hairs. It's a very tough situation to have three of those guys as well. And it sucks so much. Rich, on 70 going about into halftime, he was doing so incredibly well, coming back from the injury and then, boom, concussion. Dan Houston finally putting together a good season. He wasn't scoring great. This happened halfway through the third quarter. So he was going to put up only about a 70 as well for an entire game. But coming up to a very good run of fixturing as well. So he's going to miss the Collingwood game this week, which again is another game that he does okay in. So it's just unfortunate timing for all these guys. And then Aaron Hall obviously just come back from an injury. Now has the health and safety protocols. If I had Aaron Hall instead of either Houston or Rich in this predicament, I would be keeping Aaron Hall, I think.
Yeah.
He's not even injured at the moment, whereas the other two are, and he has the highest upside out of all three of those guys.
Yeah, it is Aaron Hall, though. He could turn up to training injured once he's out of H&S protocols. So.
Hopefully he's just resting up at home for this quarantine period. So,
yeah,
but you're absolutely right. He could fall over on the bus on the way there or something. So, all right, there's another defender I want to quickly discuss before we move on to Patrick Cripps. It's Jaden Short. So, look, I want to talk to people, firstly, about how many trades they have left to be facilitating a Short sideways, how many trades they're going to be spending to facilitate the Short sideways, because there are no players below his price that I'd trade him to. Essentially, you're looking all the way up to Stewart and that. I would not spend two trades getting this guy out. I don't care how many trades. Unless you've got seven trades, I would not be using two trades to get Short up to another player. I would not be using one trade if I only had three trades remaining to get Short up to another player. So I would only consider this if I had four trades left. I would consider using one trade, or five trades, I would consider using two trades. But the good news for Short is that Hugo Routh-Smith goes out this week and no defender comes in to replace him. There is a very good chance, in my opinion, that Short goes back into defense, the midfield role, as we super coaches have seen all bloody year, has not been successful for Jaden Short. It is in the first quarter and then maybe sometimes the second quarter, and then it's not.
Yep.
So I think he's wasted in the midfield. I think they understand that. Hugo Rasmuth is out this week. I think Short goes back into defense. I would be giving him one more week if I could, especially after seeing how many injuries we've just seen in the last 48 to 72 hours. I just don't think it's worth trading him out this week.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the guys like Crisp and Short that we have in our teams at this point of the season, they're not missing games. Yeah, they're stinking it up a little bit, but I think trades are too precious at this stage to be burning them, to be doing sideways. I think we got a question in podcast questions on Slack that was like, should I burn my last two trades to get Short to Stewart this week? And I just don't think that that's a scenario that I want to be in.
No, definitely not. Look, if I had surplus of trades, I would be trading Chris before Short, just based on the team news on Hugo Routh-Smith. I think I'm backing him in, but I would still be backing Chris in. They've just got high floors and they're not injury prone players. I just think they're so important to you know, come in the run home, especially if you're working with limited trades. Players like that just that they stick around, they keep on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Kicking over in points. They still have high ceilings in their roles. It's just that they're not performing at the moment. So I'm inclined to say keep both. Keep your trades unless you're dealing with an extreme surplus. And that puts us onto Patrick Cripps, in which I'm going to advise a lot of the same. So you saw this one a bit closer than I did. Pitnet coming back, Cripps coming back.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreeance that we got sucked into the Cripps trap again this year in terms of his upside is just so phenomenal that you can't say no. And so when you saw that at the start of the season, it was absolutely the right choice to do it, basically, you know, to get him in. I think this week with Pitnet back is going to help influence the midfield stocks. Without Hewitt in there, Cripps obviously has to take on a bigger role. And I just see that as just positive signs for him. I think in the fact that Hewitt wasn't there last week and he's gone 118, he's now got Pitnet back, who he started the year with. I just see, at least for the next round or whenever Hewitt comes back, we are going to get points from him. I think he is such a low on our priority list, I think, in terms of the other players that we're dealing with. If he's your only player that you have a problem with and you've got surplus trades, just like we talked about with the defenders, I can see the argument being made if you have like 70 grand in the cash for whatever reason. But no, I think we're just burning a trade that we will want towards the last four rounds of the year. That's just my personal opinion.
Let me run you through a few scores, right? So round 9, 83 against GWS, Hewitt was playing. Round 10, 78 against Sydney, Hewitt was playing. Round 11, 114 against Collingwood, no Hewitt. Round 13, 126 against Essendon, no Hewitt. Since then, 79, 95, 98, 92, 84, all with George Hewitt. And 118 against GWS, no George Hewitt.
Mm.
So his last two tons have come without George Hewitt. And his last 7 sub-tons have come with George Hewitt.
Yeah.
So it might not even be a pit net thing. It might be, but it might not be. It might just be a George Hewitt thing. So missing again this week, I think you're pretty safe to just hold one more week with Patrick Cripps, reassess. He could go 130, and then you could even still decide to trade next week if Hewitt comes back. That's fine, but I don't think trading this week is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And as I said with Shaw, I think we're trading just at the wrong time if we're trying to push them away this week, unless you've just got an outrageous amount of trades. And again, it's a very gut call decision with both of these players as to whether you want to use a late trade on these guys or hold on to them. I like to always hold the trades because I've got one left about to be zero and I'm scared shitless. So I would still urge people to try and hold on for dear life because injuries just come from left field, but it's definitely a gut feel thing. We've got one more guy to discuss after Cripps here, and that's Adam Treloar, missing this week with the injured calf. They said he was probable to play. It's probably just a one-week injury. Forward cover, a lot more difficult to come by. He's owned by 19.5% of teams, which actually surprised me.
It does surprise me too. I was just about to jump in.
Yeah, he's got really, really high ownership, so we definitely need to discuss it. I'm hoping he's a hold for most people, but if he's giving you a donut this week with his injury history, he is definitely potentially a trade. So it's time to look at some forward options. We got
wow.
a few things coming at us.
Yeah, yeah. Correct me or not, he's had a lot of soft tissue injury in the past. I just can't remember if he's
usually
had calves.
Hamstrings.
Oh, okay, hamstrings.
It's usually hamstrings.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I think, just as you said, he would be a hold at this stage of the season if you have cover. The problem is our forward line doesn't have the most flexibility in terms of cover that you might have. You might be looking like a Bazo or a Hollins or a Cully.
Bazo
coming
was
on
dropped this week, I think.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, there you go. So the cover's not going to be as great as it might be with someone reliable like Ware in defense. In terms of, are we just thinking about guys at his price and below? Because obviously you can, just for 8 or 10K more, you've got Will Brody. Bazilenka is only 15K more expensive. Even Timmy English is only 23 more expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Look no further than Baz if you can do that trade. If you can stretch up to Tim English, him as well, whichever one you prefer out of those two, I can't even make that decision for you.
Yep.
But operating under the assumption that they don't have the money, I've got a question for you.
So yeah, sure.
I've been rolling through the options. You're essentially looking at Tim Taranto, who's had a couple of good weeks in a row now.
Yep.
Isaac Heaney, who is an absolute roller coaster and injury prone himself. And then all the way down, if you traded Zach Butters, which I'm not sure I'm advising people to trade back into.
You're banned.
Rowan Marshall, 88 this week, in his first sort of full ruck game, didn't exactly set the world on fire. The options aren't perfect. They're okay, don't get me wrong. I think they're actually better than the defensive options around this price, but they're not perfect.
Yep.
If you had the trade, would you instead get Jai Cully on your bench, for example, Willy Rioli, I don't know who the other
well with the DPP you could easily get anyone out of the midfield too,
right? But Cully's looks like he's put up 270 plus scores right now. He's okay cover. He could just hold this week and be good cover for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's a great question actually. I think.
I think Treloar is better than all those guys that I just listed then.
Yeah, so do
if
I.
If you're trading down, I think he's better. If you're trading up, different story. I would just do that. But
yeah. Look, if you've got 25K in the bank, you're laughing. It's a really easy choice to go up to Tim English. If you've already got Tim English, Baz or Brody or even Luke Parker sitting there, not much more. I think if you've got to go down, I think the opportunity cost is much more limited having Cully that I would, and also if you have no like terrible cover forward and midfield, this gives you that opportunity to save a trade in the future that you wouldn't actually have because you've just used it on Treloar.
If we were talking like a mid-tier, not midfield rookie, that was scoring like 50s and 60s, then no.
Yeah,
but if Cully can just come in, score 70 flat, and 25 points less than the Treloar this week, you're not missing out big time, and still provide you cover, especially if this is your last trade, and you've got Rioli and Judson Clark on the bench, for example, or Tico and Rioli, or whoever it is that you have. Cully's likely got the job security to play out the year. If he's producing 70s off your bench, then I would much rather use my last trade there than on Treloar down to another injury-prone guy like Taranto, Heaney or Butters.
Have you ever thought about going into sales? You're really selling me.
I actually have. I've had people tell me that I'd be good at sales, but they honestly just didn't sell me on the role themselves, so, which explains why they're not in sales.
I think the fact that Treloar's calf seems to be a minor issue, he is subject to a fitness test this week, makes me think that it's not as serious as an old man calf.
Yes, correct.
And so the potential of only needing him for 1 week.
Back next week.
Well, if you want to do a cancel bet, I'm all for it, mate. If that's what you're throwing out.
Are you going to meet me on the other end of that though?
Oh, hell no. I'm not getting involved. You threw yourself under the bus.
That's what I thought.
You bet this with the lovely listeners.
I'll leave it open to three people. First three people who either want to tweet me or message me on Slack that Treloar plays next week. Just $10 per person. I'll leave it out.
Oh, maybe I've just sold you into thing. Maybe you think about that. No, I like it. I genuinely like it. If Treloar's back this week, you get a 70 from Cully, and then suddenly you've got mid and forward bench strength that you may not have had beforehand. I genuinely don't mind that.
I would much prefer that. And it gives you a bit of security, especially, like I said, if you're using your last trade or second to last trade, it just gives you, say, for example, two rounds left, a midfielder and a defender goes down. You would just easily, quite simply, cover the defender because Cully, hopefully at that point, is still looking like stronger cover than any other rookie that we have at the moment. So, having said that, Ware is pretty good, but do you know what I mean? It just gives you a little bit more of an easy decision to make. Even if it's like, what if it was, if we get an injury in the ruck right now, there are so many people with no trades or one trade. Imagine if a ruckman and a midfielder go down in the same week.
Mate, Tekle Miomo is going to come back and help.
He would want to. He's an emergency this week, so get around Tekle.
Yeah.
I like that nickname as well.
I want to say, if I had three trades, I think the opportunity of being able to pick a premium so close to the end of the year that if you snag a 100 or 150 or something like that, no other combination of like still having two trades up your sleeve to cover any other future issues, the opportunity cost of choosing not to have that premium that week and get a Cully instead when you may not actually need him because you've still got trades remaining makes me think that I would pick a premium. I would trade Treloar. But the fact that you've got only one and you're going to get a donut or only two and you've got no bench cover, things like that, I like this move. If you've got the flexibility, just like we've talked in other lines, just get rid of him, pick a new premium that you like.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. So three plus trades and I'm just trying to get him out. I'm doing, as we advise with Hewitt, even if you've got five trades and you want to go like one up, one down and get him up to a guaranteed Uber that you can't quite afford with the one trade, then I absolutely understand that going down to two or three trades. But if you already have two trades, then I don't mind and actually would prefer getting Cully for the rest of the season, taking you down to either one or zero trades, whichever one that that you go with there. So I think that's interesting. I think it's poorly timed by Treloar, poorly timed in my keeper league as well. So I have to field Jake Stringer now, which I'm a bit upset about, but it is what it is. I think that's what the Treloar owners knew that they were getting into this season. And honestly, he's been good without being great. 97 average. He's played 18 games thus far, so he's only missed the one prior to this week. It's great.
Yeah, except for the bye. So he actually hasn't missed a game.
Hasn't missed any games, yeah.
There you go.
Correct.
JB, we got any Q&A questions that we'd ordinarily put on our Thursday Patreon-only podcast that you think are worth running over? We've got a few different questions that pop up from time to time that we find interesting.
Yes, we do. None that are interesting, but I'll go through them anyway. I'll let me scroll up here. We'll go to Monday and just see what people were saying back then. So a lot of these we would have covered already. So let's just quickly smash through these very quick answers from you, Chizo.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff asks, with four rounds and two trades left and bench cover, which is Buku.
So no bench cover.
He's playing defense. He's all right. If Hewitt is not named this week, is it reasonable to pivot to Stewart or Sicily because they already have 50K in the bank?
Yes.
Two trades left.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, I agree. Sibs, whose name is thankfully Sibs and not his full surname, asks, similar to Jeff, three trades left in this instance, have Daniel Rich, can go Rich to anybody, or even Ware to Zorko and carry Rich and have Zorko D7, M9. I want to quickly address Zorko. Please don't get Zorko.
No.
He is so injury prone, and he's not just injury prone, he's awful score prone. because he gets thrown every which way. In I owned Zorko as an actual premium for a few weeks there, and it was the worst few weeks of my life. He doesn't score well. He doesn't hunt the ball anymore. He'd rather throw his body around and give away 8 free kicks than he would to just go find the footy on his own. His teammates burn him because he's probably just roughed them all up at training at one point or another. He's not a very nice human being from what we see on the footy field, that white line fever. He's not enjoyable to follow on the field when you own him. Don't get Zorko. He's that price for a reason. He's injury prone, he's sub prone, he's age prone, which is a thing, and he's bad score prone. Like, he ticks punch all on those prone. Boxes. Definitely punch on prone. So in this case, with 3 trades left and Daniel Rich, would you just do the Rich trade to anybody?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I would as well, with 3 trades left. T-Man also asks about Zorko. Is it worth trading Shaw and Crisp to Stewart and Zorko? No.
Stewart's nice, Zorko not.
Thoughts on Hayden Young. This is from Kentucky Fried. 482K has Melbourne Bulldogs, West Coast and GWS to finish the year. I kind of looked at Hayden Young for a second there. He's just very inconsistent. He's still young as per the surname, but he's very inconsistent. So... Do you have any opinion on him compared to Gus Brayshaw or Adam Sard? I think he's just more of a smoky pick.
Yeah, Hayden Young should be good in 2023.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite for this season either. Sam, 99 problems, has 2 trades, currently sitting on Short, Crisp, Doherty, Witts, Darcy and Dunkley, who are all underperforming quite considerably of late. Is it worth to start thinking of sideways / upgrading now before these players drop in price? So much an upgrade is possible. That's terrible English, Sam. You've got more than 99 issues, mate. For example, he's given us examples. Darcy to Gawn, Dunkley to Smith, Doherty to Stewart. I can do 2 of these 3 examples this week with only 2 trades left. What do you reckon?
I probably wouldn't.
Nah, God no. None of them are even doing that bad, and all of them have incredibly high ceilings. There's no way I'd be doing that. Just hold firm. There's going to be more injuries.
You just got him in a dip. You just got to wait for him to boom again. Yep. That's all.
Let that variance come back around. Yep. Kieran asks, 2 trades left, getting Stewie this week. If Hewitt's out, do I trade him to Stewart or hope it's 1 week and trade Whitfield instead in the qualifying final?
Let's read it. He's got
Whitfield and Hewitt this week, and he's wondering if he trades Hewitt to Stewart this week or Whitfield out, despite Whitfield being named. I mean, you just have to keep the named guy and trade the injured guy.
Yeah, I just liked it. I liked the backtracking that went halfway through. 2 trades left. I'm getting Stewart this week. Should I get Stewart this week?
Yeah. He seems unsure. He's in the right place, but he does seem unsure.
And his name's dazed and confused, so I do. Everything's lining up.
Everything's coming up in your house, isn't it? Bell asks, is Heaney alive again? No, he's just always been a rollercoaster, right?
No, nothing's changed. I warned people at the start of the year that were thinking it was the second coming of Gary Ablett. It's just the Heaney. That's all it is. High variance.
Yep. Ed asks something that I'm not going to read out. It's a 2023 question. I just want to say we're not answering it because there's going to be a massive 2023 and retrospective 2022 podcast coming out at the end of the season in which we'll ask for those specific questions. Schmitty wants to know, trade Shaw or Crisp to Stewart. So he's got the choice of either. Who would you trade first, Shaw or Crisp?
Because Schmitty's been listening to this podcast as it's been recorded, he's only got 6 trades remaining and 200K in the bank. I'm going to pick Crisp to go to Stewart.
Yeah, I am also doing that, as I did in the podcast, because Hugo Ralph Smith is out of the squad and I expect Shaw to lift. Lunny says, I'm playing for league finals, 3 trades left, 65K in the bank, 2 options for trades, Hewitt to Stewart, a lock if Hewitt is not playing. All right, so he's done that one. The other trade is either Cameron to English.
Yes.
Which leaves... Okay. Kerno for Coleman asks, top 4, would you do the following trades? Playing for league, Josh Kelly for Steele, or Shaw or Crisp... Also, and Short or Crisp to Penderbury or George Hewitt for Tom Stewart. Essentially, would you do Josh Kelly for Steele and Hewitt for Tom Stewart? 4 trades remaining.
Yeah, 4 trades remaining. I probably would. Yeah.
Absolutely, yep. Coming into the finals. Jay asks, what are the top four defender options with no price limit, considering Stewart is back and now Hewitt is out? We've definitely discussed that one, but for me, yep. It's Stewart. Who's your number one?
Sinclair for me.
Nice. Muscle says, if you have cover for Hewitt, which is Karmas for him, would it be viable to trade Short to Stewart and hold Hewitt? Blah, 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 blah. No, I don't think so at all. I would always trade the injured guy. Like, what if Hewitt then misses the next 2 weeks with this back injury? It's just so risky. I'm not rolling that dice. Karmas might not be around forever. He might put out a 50. I don't know. But I'm always trading the injured guy. And Ralph Smith's out still. So should all I trade Hewitt or Houston for Stewart? This is from D-Max.
Hewitt, yep. D-Max.
Marcus, I dream of Heaney. Sicily versus Gorn as a trade-in. That's a tough one. That's a really good question.
I would say Sicily, just because every time I've touched someone in the ruck line, they've suddenly gone from a 120 average to sub-100. So if you're chasing the 140-plus from Gorn last week, he's guaranteed to go 20 this week.
Okay. I'll say Gorn. I like being different, firstly. But secondly, I think Sicily's scoring has just dropped off a little bit since they got a full complement of defenders back at Hawthorn. So he's still going to average 105 for the rest of the season. But, you know, Gorn could go 110, 115 if he has a purple patch here. So and Melbourne need to win games. They're not, like, clear on top or anything at the moment. So I'll back Gorn in. Mostly just for devil's advocate. So good luck with that, Marcus. Tandy has three trades left, needing two trades to go Hewitt to Stewart. Worth it. We have discussed this. Three trades left, so you'd be going down to one trade to do Hewitt to Stewart. Don't think
four and above.
That. Yeah, I don't think I'd be doing that. I think I'd just be, unfortunately, doing what I'm doing and finding the guy who you like the most at a lesser price, and keeping two trades in the bank. All right, we're smashing through these. Crusaders have no cash, one trade left, both Rich and Hewitt out. I have cover for both with Buku and Bazo. I think Bazo's out this week, so yeah, just cover for one. Do I use the trade for Hewitt to Dale and go down to no trades, or play both rookies? Okay, you don't have both rookies. Yeah, I think that is a good option. I would go Hewitt to Dale there, especially with the no money there. But I think that's an absolutely fine upgrade. I can't even afford that upgrade. Otherwise, Dale would be super, super obvious, I think.
If he's got no cash, how's he going to Dale? Maybe that's because...
Dale's like 5K more expensive, I think.
Oh, okay.
So he's got, like, barely any cash, but... Yeah. We actually should have said this during the podcast. I don't know why I said I went all the way up or just down. If you do have 10K or so and you can go to Dale, I think he's better than Gus and Saad and those guys below. So I think
Is Caleb Daniel going to change?
Yeah, he'll affect him. He'll affect him. But he still went 100-plus with Caleb, so I think he's still fine for that.
Whereas
the other guys are a little bit more sus. At what round did Pistol run out of trades, or what round will he run out of trades? I think he's still got one left, which he'll probably be using this week.
I
believe he's got the one left, and I think he's got the Hewitt situation that we all have, so I think he'll be spending it. So just like me, I think we're both going down to zero this week.
Well, I'm going to hold my trade this week just so I can continue my run of having trades after Pistol runs out and still beating him.
I love that. Harry the Chooks says, toying with Short and Crisp to Stew and Zorko. I'll cut you off right there. I don't care about your 5-round average. Zorko, not going to be endorsed on this podcast as long as I live. Butler says, question for the potty. How many people still have trades left? Only one person on this podcast, so about 50%. I think Bell's just asked a similar question.
Yeah, he has.
He's just sort of asked for a reiteration between first trade option between Short and Crisp, which we think is Crisp. Job security for D'Ambrosio next 4 weeks, Chizo. This is all you, mate.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot, Lisa. I think it'd be nice being able to use the cash from where to get Cully in and going Short to Stewart. The problem is, I just don't think Mass is going to be reliable enough. He might be sub this week, but I just don't see him staying permanently or reliably enough to finish the season. I've got no doubt that he'll come back in for at least a game and play on field, but the reliability is just not good. So to go down with no trades and only going Short to Stewart with the potential of Short going back, honestly, I would just stick with what we've got.
good advice. Slatty, sorry, that was by Lisa. I forgot to shout that one out. Slatty asks, Rich to English via Himmelberg versus Hewitt to Stewart. I still think it's quite easily Hewitt to Stewart. English's last few weeks has not been as good as what we thought it would be. I think we might have not been duped into an Uber, because he's still an Uber, but he's not quite as good as what we thought he was. Whereas Stewart,
he got decapitated, man. You got to give him a couple weeks to work back into it.
I'll give him as long as he wants. I've got zero trades, mate. And lastly, Dickie's got four trades, 74K in the bank, defense of Hewitt, Hall, Crisp, Short, Dan Rioli. Was going to go Hewitt to Stewart and Short to Sutt or Angus Brayshaw. Now Hall out, tempted to bin him, but he's probably 1 week and wear cover. Don't like Short's half forward role. Maybe he's second. Whew, a bit of inner monologue chucked in there, Dickie. Thanks for that, mate. We don't agree with Short. We think that he's potentially going to come good this week, so I would still opt to hold him. Hall out just the 1 week. So if you can trade Hewitt to Stewart and then just cover the other two donuts, then I would. But I don't know if you can cover the two donuts. Just respond again in Slack post-podcast, Dickie, and just advise if you can cover both donuts. We'll answer that one. Yeah. We'll message based on that one.
We've got the chief that has sent us through a question.
Sorry. I thought that was JB a reply. As well. My bad. Yep. Similar to Bell, is it worth doing roses to Cully if I have three trades left and only 40K? Cover for each line would be Bookie, McDonald, and Cully would leave 179K in the bank. Could add Hewitt to Stewart this week. So who does Cully cover for you, chief? It doesn't sound like anyone for this week.
It looks like it's just a cash grab. Like, go roses to Cully because Cully's bargain basement. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if he wants cover over the next 3 weeks, he's not going to have any, whereas this is the chance to pick up someone that hasn't appreciated in price.
My thoughts on this is I would go Hewitt to Stewart, which is going down to... Sorry, that's he's got three trades left. I would do Hewitt to Stewart and go down to two trades. I would keep roses and not get Cully in. But I don't think Cully's going to make up that difference on roses. So, worst case scenario, if you need to do that next week anyway, you can still do that, I believe. I know it's not going to be ideal with price, but he's still going to be the best backup. And from next week, you either do it and be and you know have done it and be able to do it, blah, blah, blah. Or you won't need to do it. And if you don't need to do it, then you've still got two trades left and just 2 weeks to spend them. So I think I'd rather just hold off of that unless he was covering like a Treloar just do the Hewitt to Stewart.
Yeah, if you're using Cully this week and you need him on field and you don't want roses, I can see that. That's the Treloar situation that we were discussing before that you came up with, JB. Yep. I don't think it's worth at this stage of the season with only four rounds remaining and three trades. You might not quite get through those three in terms of injuries because you're not mentioning that you have an injury spot there.
He's got Hewitt.
Yeah, but it doesn't. He's got Buku there, so at least he's got cover. You know what I mean? So with the potential of Stewart back next week, so I think with three trades remaining, I would honestly just be sidewaysing the premiums in terms of opportunity costs, because if you trade roses to Cully, you've got two trades remaining, and then if you need Cully, it's because you've run out of trades to sideways the premiums anyway. So you could use that trade to go a premium to someone else. So you're bringing forward the week that you run out of trades and are forced to use the cover rather than just swapping premiums and having cover anyway.
Yeah, just go Hewitt.
It's an opportunity cost.
Yeah, for sure. And that's it. We just need to look through captains real quick. Appreciate everyone in the questions. Sorry, we sort of smashed them a bit quickly there. It wasn't the dedicated podcast for it, but thought we might as well sneak them in anyway. We do need to look at captains. This week, we've got an abundance of options. Starting on the Friday, we've got Clayton Oliver playing, who is always a good option. Going into the Saturday afternoon, we've got Steele against Hawthorn, which I think is a decent VC option. The opportunity to use any of the Bulldogs, I think Bontempelli in his form is a good option against Geelong. Walsh / Laird for the Saturday night game, Adelaide versus Carlton is our options there. I mean, Took has West Coast. Neil is very good against Richmond. Like, the options are essentially endless. Even Zerat has North Melbourne. So, Who are you specifically going to go this week? I want to know.
I'm going to stick with Laird. He's been really, really faithful for me over the last fortnight to 3 weeks. So I like a VC of Laird into either Neil or Merritt. I think Merritt's been underappreciated in the last few weeks. He doesn't quite have the ceiling of a 150 that the likes of Neil and Took do against their counterparts.
He's just been consistent though, hasn't he?
Yeah, whereas Neil and Took have had the ability to throw out an 80 or a 90 like out of nowhere. And so I think Zerit's just in a crazy vein of form for him, and against at Marvel against North, I think he's going to be a really safe C for me. And that's probably controversial going against Took and Neil, but I guess that's just how confident I am in Laird.
No, I definitely like him as much as I like Took. I just like Neil a little bit more. I think I'm going to go Bontempelli into Lockie Neil. I'm pretty confident Neil breaks the 120 barrier, so I'm just shooting for a 150 from Bont or something like that, and I think he's the most likely leading up to it. If I had Laird, which I do not, I think that's the easiest choice of the week, as it is most weeks. He's just so consistently above 120, so it makes him the best captaincy option. I worry about that Hawthorn game. I think McGuinness has been used to tag, so it kind of worries me about both Steele and Sinclair this week. I think one of them gets looked at a little bit from the opposition, so just one to keep a bit of an eye on there. So I think I'd be avoiding that game. It's really hard to pass up Clary. Aiming for either Clary or one of the Saturday night boys into a safe Neil / Zach Merritt into the Sunday. So, we've got so many options. I struggle to believe people are going to miss 120 twice this week. I think it's pretty safe. So, that's about it from us, mate. Do you want to plug the socials?
Mate, I can do that. If you want to find us on Twitter, you've got the main page at Duck. Doctor underscore SC. I turned into the doc for some reason. You got JV at JV underscore DRSC. Chizo at Chizo with a Z underscore DRSC. Pistol at Pistol underscore DRSC.
Well done. It's like you've rehearsed it or done it a million times before. Either. Can't make my decision on that. Vote at home. An option is going to come up on your screen right now. So just vote.
Red button. I do want to congratulate TP on winning the meme low. I think huge. That's worthy of the real podcast. It's been a secret pod on Patreon for Rivalry League, but I think he deserves a shout out on the main thing.
Yeah, just so people know that as like the free to air people listen. We've been doing like 3 podcasts a week all year this year. It has been pretty insane. Pretty fun. The Rivalry League has been fun. Congrats to Team Pistol. I'll be the one to say it, Chizo. Congrats to Team Pistol winning the Rivalry League. All of those lads listening, they're probably not listening. They're probably out of trades because they just won the Rivalry League and don't care for the podcast anymore. But unreal season. Great year to be amongst that. It gave us life in Supercoach this season to be in that league. So just couldn't be happier for the people that have sort of made it. What a great journey it was this year. So one more podcast to come on the Rivalry League as well later in the season. So that's going to do us for the main podcast. We appreciate everyone being patient for the Thursday podcast. We hope for that we reward you with all the information you could possibly have desired. If we didn't, please hit us up on the socials any way that you can. We will respond. It's going to be a decent week of advice considering the outs that we face. We appreciate everyone listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.